नमस्ते सारस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारण निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशभक्ता ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायं धीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्ति भवति न इति We are continuing to read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 3, entitled Yamaraja Instructs His Messengers, Text 6. Kintu Shastra Bahutvesya Bahuna Ihakarmina Shastritvam Pacharohi यता मंडलवर्तिनां किंतु शास्त्र बहुत्वे स्यात् बहूनां इह कर्मिणां शास्त्रित्वं उपचारोति यता मंडलवर्तिनां किंतु शास्त्र बहुत्वे स्यात् बहूनां इह कर्मिणां शास्त्रित्वं उपचारोति यता मंडलवर्तिनां बट वर मीनिंग किंतु बट शास्त्र गवर्नर्स और जजेस बहुत्वे इन द प्लुरालिटी There may be Bahunam of many. Iha in this world, Karminam, persons performing actions, Shastritvam, departmental managers, Upacharaha, administration. He indeed. Yatha, just like Mandalavartinam of the departmental heads. Translation in third book by Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Can you put Bhagavatam in space for Prabhupada? The Yamadutas continue. Since there are many different karmis or workers, there may be different judges or rulers to give them justice. Just as one central emperor controls different departmental rulers, there must be one supreme controller to guide all the judges. Translation responsibly. The Yamadutas continue. Since there are many different karmis, our workers, there may be different judges or rulers to give them justice. But just as one central emperor controls different departmental rulers, there must be one supreme controller to guide all the judges. Purport. In governmental management, there may be departmental officials to give justice to different persons, but the law must be one. and that central law must control everyone. The Yamadutas could not imagine that two judges would give two different verdicts in the same case, and therefore they wanted to know who the central judge is. The Yamadutas were certain that Ajamila was a most sinful man, but although Yamaraja wanted to punish him, the Vishnudutas excused him. This was a puzzling situation that the Yamadutas wanted Yamaraja to clarify. Om Ajnana Simirandasya Jnanam Janashalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Tadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsya Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Dharnakamitam Tamsajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Shakamutamscha He Krishna Parma Sindhu Dinavando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Ramasude Saptakanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrinda Vaneshmari Krishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Pancha Kalpatakubhyascha Svasindubhya Evacha Patitanam Kavanubhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare This particular pastime or Ajamila delivered by the Vishnudutas, the subsequent conversation that ensued between the between the Vishnudutas and the Yamadutas, and how Ajamila got delivered. Now the story has moved to that part where the Yamadutas, who were dutifully carrying out the orders of their master, who is Yamaraj, they are expressing their emotions to Yamaraj. If you look at the pastime from the different emotions the personalities go through, it's quite interesting that in the deathbed, about to leave his body, when Ajamila is seeing himself getting dragged out of his temporary material body, the emotion that he goes through was horror, pain, agony. And then in that pain, the unexpected thing happens. No one would have expected that this person, who has spent more than half of his life in a pious way and the rest of his life in a very impious way, who would imagine that this person would call out the name of the Lord just at that crucial point? The unexpected thing happens. So the unexpected thing happens, and this changes the whole scenario. Now the pastime takes a whole different turn. Now this helpless calling out of the Lord attracts the mercy of the Lord. Like yesterday, as Sri Krishna Prabhu was saying, Lord is very personal, He reciprocates. So the Lord is sending Vishnu Dudas to rescue Ajamila. So we see the emotion exhibited by the Lord here is his Bhakta Vatsala aspect, his compassion, for which he is always known for. That's why we say Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu. So this draws the emotion of mercy, karunya, compassion, daya, and his Bhakta Vatsala aspect is being drawn. That emotion is being drawn. Now the Vishnu Dudas come and they embody the same mercy, compassion, and the removal of fear aspect of the Lord. And that's why they say to Ajamila the same words which Krishna says in the Gita, Ma Shucha. They tell the same words to Ajamila, saying that do not fear. So Vishnu Dudas come, they defy the orders of Yamaraj, they cut the hard knot of the Yamapasha, the ropes of the Yamadudas, which is very hard to cut. And then they speak kind and reassuring words to Ajamila, and one of them is this, do not fear. So we see the Vishnu Dudas exhibiting the same emotion of the Lord. Daya, compassion, removing fear, protecting portion of which the Lord has, and that's exhibited through the Vishnu Dudas. Now, the Yama Dudas, they are looking like, what's going on here? We have a whole list of sins which this person has committed, and we have the order of Yamaraj, and we are on our duty. No one has ever stopped us from doing our duty. And this sort of frustration, anger, not able to do the duty which they are meant to do, establishing Dharma, that's what Dharmaraj is for. And then astonishment, how could this ever happen? So these are the emotions which the Yamadudas are going through. And most importantly, they thought that their master, Yamaraj, is the supreme controller. And his order can never be a defeated, quarter. But here, the scene is unfolding in such a way that they are going through this sort of emotions, anger, frustration. Despite these emotions, they talk very politely with the Vishnu Dudas. They control, they check their emotions, and then they talk to Vishnu Dudas in a polite way. They, Yama Dudas, take that to their side. And then Vishnu Dudas also politely replied about the superior Dharma. So that's when the Ajamila hears the nectar of the potency of the Lord's name. So Ajamila, if we change the focus to Ajamila, from fear, horror, pain, of death, he is now experiencing the nectar of the pastimes of the Lord entering through his ears. He is having physical association with the Vishnu Dudas who are there, seeing their beauty. It's as good as seeing the Lord. What's missing in the Vishnu Dudas is the Sri Vatsa Marg and the Vaijayanti Garden, except that they have the same form, opulence, all of that. So it draws their emotions in Ajamila. It's as good as seeing the Lord. Then the readers of the Bhagavatam also go through the emotions of seeing the potency of the holy name, and that creates transformation. We see Ajamila transforming, and seeing that, our heart also transforms. We go through that nectar of hearing the glories of the holy name and the glories of the Lord from the mouth of devotees. It adds to the flavor. Sukamukar Amrita Sarva Samritam. In our case, through Srila Prabhupada's purpose. Now, despite that the nectarian message of the Lord, the potency of the holy name is being spoken, because Yamadutas are still caught up on this aspect, my boss is the supreme controller. His order is not being carried out. I am not able to do my duty. These people are preventing us from doing our duty. So despite the fact that they heard the glories of the holy name, the blocks that were there, the emotional blocks, did not allow the message to penetrate. So it has to be repeated again. They can't believe it. How? Just by saying na, ra, ya, na. Four syllables, four persons come out of the blue, and also they are blue. They are four hands, fully decorated, and they just come and so fully in great astonishment, anger, frustration. So this is blocking them from understanding the message. And they need to be, yes, they need to be told again. Here they come back to Yamaraj and then they describe the whole incident. And now they are not able to check their anger. They are not able to check their frustration. They are venting it out to Yamaraj. Srila Prabhupada refers to Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's purports in this section. So, I'll read Acharya's commentary for this set of verses. So, because the Yamadutas were confronted, they were defeated, they came back to Yamaraj, it is their bit more familiar territory or their own place with their own master. So, now they can't keep their cool. So, now they just openly express their feelings. So this is how they say. The Yamadutas say that we go throughout the whole world, no one defeats us. And today we see that these four persons with four arms, they appear out of the blue, and then the person whom we are trying to punish, this Ajamil, and bring him to hell. That's why three were sent. The amount of sins that Ajamil committed was so much that Yamaraj had to send three. Usually only two come. So we are being blocked. If we can't do our duty, we are the servants of a firefly. So this is directed towards Yamaraj. If we can't do our duty, we are just like servants of a firefly. After this, we no longer want to serve. Now this great resignation thing is going on now. The Yamadutas are about to give their, what do they say? Put their letters. I put my letter today. That's how they say. They are about to give up their duty. We can no longer serve. And Acharya explains that their emotion is so much that their voice is choked when they are talking to Yamaraj. And then they ask this question, how can there be many controllers? Are there multiple controllers? Looks like we sense that somebody is above you also, and there seems to be some contradiction here. You are no longer the supreme controller. Our bubble, the dream bubble has popped, and now we want to know the truth. Are there multiple controllers? So, in typical Krishna Chakravarti Thakur style, there's a dialogue going on.
Okay, what's the problem?
If there are multiple controllers, your servants anyway, what's your problem? So then the Yamadutas, they explain different scenarios. For every action, there is either reward or punishment. Okay? So scenario one, assuming that there are two authorities, and the two authorities are giving punishment. You saw two outcomes, reward or punishment, and there are two authorities. So one authority punishes, other authority also punishes. So a person will undergo punishment twice. Okay. Scenario two, reward. Okay. Now, one authority rewards, other authority also rewards. The person is getting rewarded twice. Now, the third complex scenario is they don't agree. The two authorities disagree. One person rewards, other person punishes. That's what's happening now. Yamadutas, under the order of Yamaraj, wants to punish. Vishnudutas, under the order of Vishnu, they are rewarding him. This is why we say that multiple authorities is a problem. Because you can't punish twice, you can't reward twice, and if there is a contradiction, how do we resolve? That is why having many controllers is a problem. So in this way, they express their emotions to Yamaraj. We saw the emotions of Ajamil, Yamadutas, Vishnudutas, the Lord. Now we will turn to Yamaraj. So your subordinates are coming and blasting you. I'm not sure if his wife was around, but that would be the biggest thing. Getting blasted by your own juniors, that is the emotion that Yamaraj has to go through. Embarrassment, as stated by in the yesterday's purport, in one way is a bit of an embarrassing situation for the Yamaraj. He has given the verdict of punishment to a person. He has sent his messengers, not two, three, just to make sure that he comes back, and on the way he gets beaten. That's why the third person was sent. All the arrangement was made. And who on the earth will imagine that this sinful person, right at that juncture of leaving his body, who has done a whole lot of sins, who on the earth will expect that this person will helplessly call out the four syllables, Narayana? Yamaraj didn't expect. So it is a bit of an embarrassment. And the other, to add to that, it's not that the Lord directly intervened, he sent his subordinates. The subordinates of your superior are thwarting your order. They are defeating you. And they are telling, they are instructing your subordinates as to what the correct way of working is. Which means that it is an instruction to him also. So your subordinates are blasting. The subordinates of your superior is also kind of instructing. Of course, ultimately the Lord is doing it. And that's why in yesterday's purport, Prabhupada writes that Yamaraj is empowered by the Lord. In this today's verse and the subsequent verse, we will see how Yamaraj keeps his cool. He doesn't punish his subordinates. He doesn't chastise them straight away. But what he does is something amazing that every leader has to do, is to educate his those who are under them. Education. That education is through words and also through actions. That's why, as a Mahajan, he exhibits that characteristic of remembering the Lord and keeping his cool. Let his subordinates vent out their anger, then instruct them. And towards this, in this chapter, towards the end or in the middle, Yamaraj will offer prayers to the Lord and beg for forgiveness. Despite going through embarrassment, blasted by his juniors, in a way his orders being thwarted by the subordinate of the senior, he keeps his cool and he begs forgiveness to the Lord in a mood, and thereby teaching his subordinates the actual standard. In listing the Mahajans, he will list him, his name in the end. Balir Vaya Sakir Vayam, he will say. He doesn't put his name different. Mahajan, yes, I am the first, then comes the, no, he puts himself the last. And it's interesting to note that these Mahajans can know the actions of the Lord, but none of them can know the intention of the Lord. The surprise aspect is always there. Having seen the emotions which the personalities go through, have gone through in this episode, let's focus on the principles that we can learn from this episode up to this point. The first principle I thought of sharing is, when someone is emotionally disturbed, don't try to preach them or don't try to educate them high level philosophy. When someone's emotionally disturbed, that's not the time to impart Vaishnava etiquette, this, you should have done that. So let that person become emotionally a bit more stable, let them express, vent out their emotions, and then you start educating them gradually according to the level that they can take. And this indicates the second principle of being accommodative to absorb the disturbed state of his own subordinates. That requires emotional maturity. So that is something that we can take and learn from this episode, how Yamaraj is exhibiting that emotional maturity. The next principle is, however high you are in the line of authority, expect that somebody else above you will correct you. Be prepared for that. It could happen anytime. While you are executing your duty in front of your juniors also. So be open for that. And if you look at it from the subordinate's role, when you see that your superior is being corrected by another superior, you don't have to lose faith in your immediate superior. You have to go and clarify and get a bit more clarity of the entire picture. And that's what the Yamadutas are doing. So instead of questioning the integrity of the intermediate authority, we should be in a position to get things more clarified and not to abandon the line of authority. The next principle is, if you have made a mistake, beg for forgiveness. Admit it and accept that you made a mistake and beg forgiveness from the persons who are involved, the superiors. I'm saying this, but I'm still working on this myself, make a lot of mistakes. So this disposition of being able to ask for forgiveness and maintaining that humble subordinate mood. And that's what Yamaraj exhibits in verse 30 of this particular chapter. And he says, he includes himself and his followers to be offenders, and then he begs that, "Oh my Lord," this is what Yamaraj says, "my servants have surely committed a great offense by arresting a Vaishnava such as Ajamila. Oh Narayana, O supreme and oldest person, please forgive us." So here is where you see the principle of leadership, that he says that it is his mistake and it's a mistake of his subordinates also. He doesn't wash up his hands. "My dear Lord, they did it, I didn't do it. I am not responsible. You deal with them." So then what will the subordinates feel? If we are giving our life to you, now that you just say, "Come, we are washing up your hands," and then he takes responsibility, accountability. It's the same characteristic that the Lord himself exhibited. You know when? When the pastime of four Kumaras being blocked by who? Jaya and Vijaya. So the Lord comes out and says that, "I beg for forgiveness. Whatever my subordinates have done, I also beg forgiveness. I am even willing to lop off my own hand to," which means he is able to exhibit that quality of, "Okay, my subordinates have done, that's my mistake also." And now Yamaraj is doing it towards the Lord. So continuing his Yamaraj's prayer, you can say, "Because of our ignorance, we fail to recognize Ajamila as a servant of your lordship, and thus we have suddenly committed a great offense. Therefore, with folded hands, we beg your pardon. My Lord, since you are supremely merciful and are always full of good qualities, please pardon us. We offer our respectful obeisances unto you." Now, before this prayer, Yamaraj will also give instructions. He will instruct whatever the Yamadudas heard from the Vishnududas, the potency of the Lord's name, the mercy aspect of the Lord, how that is superior, all that they will hear again from their own master, and now they will be convinced. So, the principle is educating the juniors by words, educating by action, and educating about full surrender to the Lord. Now, the other principle or learning from this pastime is that, as far as the Lord is concerned, he is Abhijna Swaraj. He is independent. No one has control over him. No one is above him. So he can act in any way that will give us surprises. He is supremely independent. The rules you may set as intermediate controllers, as described here, Mandalapati. So it is just allegorical. You may be controllers, but he is a supreme controller. Anytime an overriding order may come from the Lord unexpectedly, and he doesn't have to follow any of the protocols. But sometimes he does follow the protocols set by his subordinates. Example where he doesn't follow is this, where he does follow is the pastime of, what pastime Lord followed the benediction given by his newborn devotee? What pastime he followed that?
Narad Muni.
So Narad Muni cursed Kubera's sons, and the Lord fulfilled it. Yeah. What else? What other benedictions the devotee gave? One devotee gave to protect another devotee. He followed all the protocols and still. Sorry.
The devotee gave benediction to the Lord.
Devotee gave benediction to someone else, but the Lord followed that. So Lord Brahma. Ambarish Maharaj. Can you explain? Yes, okay. Ambarish Maharaj requested Sudarshan Chakra not to harm Durvasamuni. So that was Sudarshan Chakra retrieval. So we can, it's interesting to note that that set of prayers we can chant daily, and especially during this pandemic time. We talk about reducing the bodily fever, the burning and all of that. Okay, that's an interesting pastime. Well, the Lord agrees to abide by his subordinates or the devotees. Wish, what else? What other scenario that the Lord exactly followed the rules set by his subordinate and still achieve his mission of protecting another devotee and showing his Bhaktavatsala aspect? Okay, hearing two things, that's good. Yes, how can you explain? So when Narasimhadev killed Hiranyakashipu, what happened? Okay, so he can liberate his father. So in that pastime, how did the Lord fulfill the words of another devotee? He liberated his father. So the form that he took as half man, half lion was exactly in line with the rules and the benediction given by who? Lord Brahma. So Lord Brahma gave the benediction to Hiranyakashipu. They are all the conditions. So Narasimhadev fulfilled all the conditions. Half man, half lion, killing him neither inside nor outside, no weapons, just with his nails, on his lap, not on the earth or heaven, neither inside nor outside, neither a man nor an animal. Sambe sabaya namrikam namamsham. Yes, so he'll appear in a pillar out of nowhere. So, yes, so now coming to Bhishma Dev, what is that?
Bhishma requested that I wanted to kill my neighbor, and then he
Okay. So, Bhishma Dev took the vow that I will kill the Pandavas, if not at least Arjuna. Either that or the Lord has to break his promise that he will not lift weapons. Either one or that. So the Lord fulfilled. So sometimes the Lord keeps his promise, sometimes the Lord doesn't. He can override. So that is a good understanding that I got. Thank you. Now the final aspect that I want to touch upon today is the one word from the purport that set me thinking is a puzzling situation. There's a word in the purport, today's purport. This was a puzzling situation that the Yamadutas wanted Yamaraja to clarify. So let's zoom into this puzzling situation. What are the puzzling situations that you have come across in the scriptures? The devotees go through focusing, starting in Bhagavad Gita. How does Bhagavad Gita begin? puzzling situation and the scriptures. You would like to share what puzzling situation Bhagavad Gita deals with? I saw you reading Bhagavad Gita.
Why? Having to face his friends and family.
Yeah, so that's a puzzling situation. Your own kith and kin. Arjuna says that grandfathers, fathers, maternal uncles, all of them, he's puzzled to see in a fighting spirit. And that puzzled him. So this Gita begins with that puzzling situation that a person goes through. And then more puzzling things as Gita unfolds. In the second chapter itself, it will say different paths will be described as a summary. And every path will say, okay, fight. Follow your nature, the Kshatriya, fight. If you want to work without detachment, offer the results, still fight. I'll work only for me, for satisfying me, still fight. So, this same Lord who is Bhakta Vatsala, who is a protector, Arjuna was puzzled when he saw the Kala Rupa. Who are you? I saw it as a friend standing next to me, now what is his form? And that puzzled Arjuna. That time the Lord will do, he follows me. So, Bhagavad Gita begins with that. Now, what are other puzzling situations in the Bhagavatam? How does Bhagavatam begin? Asking questions by the sages, okay, then who is the major person involved? Parikshit. What puzzling situation Parikshit goes through? Putting a dead snake on the Brahman's neck, the same Parikshit Maharaj who could tolerate the fire of the Brahmastra in his mother's womb could not tolerate a little bit of thirst. That's puzzling for us. And the other puzzling scenario that Parikshit Maharaj goes through is that he sees in his own kingdom a person dressed as a king, Shudra dressed as a king, and he is doing an abominable activity of what? Bull. He is harming a bull. So, as you all know, bull has dharma, four legs, only one leg is standing, and here is a person, a Shudra dressed as a king, trying to kill. So Parikshit Maharaj was puzzled to see that, and his response was that to Kali was that he was about to kill Kali. Then Kali did something unusual. So then Parikshit is again puzzled. Now I have to give shelter to this person who has surrendered and asking me to give a place to stay. So then he allocated the places where gold is stored or meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex, gambling, all that places you can stay. Parikshit Maharaj is wearing a golden crown. So Kali entered through that, influenced him to put the snake around Samika Rishi's neck, and then we know what happened. So Parikshit Maharaj was puzzled to see Kali in that situation, and then but he took a brave action. Then we are in a bit of a situation where we have to analyze that this same person is behaving saintly, but now he is destined to kill, to be killed in 7 days. The Lord doesn't seem to protect. We are puzzled. We protected him in the womb, but now you seem to back off and then just watch him. The reason behind that is Bhagavatam has to be spoken. Therefore, in a puzzling way, the Lord uses his devotees. He protects sometimes. He does protect Parikshit Maharaj by giving him this Atmajnana and making him immune to death before he faces the actual death. Okay, what other puzzling situations are there? Next few chapters in the Bhagavatams. Vyasadeva is himself in a puzzled situation. Where I have written all the various scriptures, still I am unsatisfied. So that's why you need a spiritual master up to the level of Vyasadeva. Then he surrenders when Narada Muni comes, instructs. Then Bhagavatam is spoken. How about the puzzling scenario which Arjuna faced in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the first canto? What puzzling situation Arjuna has to face?
He lost his power.
He lost his power, okay. It's a good one. I didn't expect that. Krishna is gone, same Gandiva, it's the same person. The potency is gone. He couldn't even defeat a bunch of cowherd men with a low character, can't take away the queens of the Lord. He couldn't do much. He was puzzled. Sorry? His mission was fulfilled, now the Lord was not there no longer, so he's gone. How about Arjuna had to do this task of killing who? Ashwatthama. That's another puzzling situation that Arjuna goes through. It's the same Draupadi who goes through the ghastly scene of his own sons.
Nice.
Getting their heads chopped off, not in a fight, but in the dead of the night, unarmed, unfighting, unresisting. If a dead body comes, if the body is in full shape, at least there's a little bit of, but the body has come without the head. And here is a mother watching that, and she wanted Ashwatthama dead at that time. Who did this? Ashwatthama. Ashwatthama has to die. So Arjuna goes. Draupadi settles down in her emotion. Now she is seeing Ashwatthama brought. And now here is a puzzling situation for Arjuna. The Supreme Lord himself says, kill him. Bhima says, as usual Bhima will be, just go for it. So the list of reasons given by various personalities to kill, and surprisingly Draupadi, Mother Draupadi turns around and she says not to kill Ashwatthama. What reasons Draupadi gives? There are a lot of Bhakti Vedantas, Bhakti Vaibhavas here.
He was the only son.
Okay, only son.
She lost 5 sons, she can kill the
pain. I lost my 5 sons. I don't want the same pain for another mother. I don't want Ashwatthama's mother to go through the pain that I am going through. Okay, what other reasons she gives? Because he was a Brahmana. Okay. So her speech included aspects the Acharyas explained. Because she has come out of that emotional state, she is able to think in a bit more sober way. So her reason included dharma, justice, mercy, non-duplicity, equal, being equal to everyone. And these are some of the aspects of the Dharma Shastras, is that it defines what is right, what is wrong. We have the Varnashrama system. It defines that this is the role, this is the responsibility. And then there is a way of judging others which tells you if this person does something wrong, this is the intensity of the punishment. So first is the code of conduct. Second is judgment. How do we judge others based on their position in the Varnashrama? And third is atonement. How do you atone for a particular kind of crime or mistake that you've done. So this three points I found from His Holiness Shiva Maharaj's Varnashrama Compendium book, where he says Dharma Shastras have these three aspects. And we see all that in Mother Draupadi, where she is giving reasons why Ashwatthama should not be punished. The same Mother Draupadi. Now she is arguing how Ashwatthama should not be punished. Now who's going through this puzzle? Arjuna. The wife said bring him, kill him. Now she's saying don't kill him. The Lord is saying kill him. Others. Now hearing Draupadi's emotion, seeing her transformation, others also agree that Ashwatthama should not be killed. So the number of persons favoring Ashwatthama has increased now. Still Krishna will say kill him. Bhima will also say kill. But Krishna will throw in a disclaimer. Kill him, but consider that he is also a Brahmin. So Arjuna's perplexity, his puzzle gets more and more. And then he does something amazing to come out of the puzzle is, yes, I have to kill him. At the same time, not kill him. For a Kshatriya to take out their strength and their pride, it's as good as they are dead. So cut his hair and take out the jewel and leave him. So here we see the aspects of a devotee going through a puzzling situation. The Lord Himself giving him what is called as contradictory instructions, but guiding him also. Like that, there are quite a few, quite a lot of puzzling situations that the devotees go through in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Few things that came to my mind are how Yudhishthira Maharaj appears to be inconsolable even after hearing the Lord Himself. Lord Himself tried to console him, but still he was not consoled. That's a puzzling situation. Then Bhishma consoles him. And Bhishma is puzzled. How could Yudhishthira, who is the son of Yamaraj himself, who was so righteous, and all the Pandavas who were so righteous, I am puzzled to see that you have to go through such hardship. Aho kashtam, aho anyayam, yadduyam, dharmanam dhanam, jivitum nahatak krishtam, vipra dharma achyutam ashaya. You don't even deserve to live because you have gone through so much of pain in your life that despite being Dharmaraj, despite being so righteous, but you have taken shelter of the Brahmanas, you have taken shelter of Dharma, you have taken shelter of the infallible Lord achyutam. And then Bhishma Dev will also express the Lord's plan is inconceivable and that's puzzling and don't try to question. Just comply. Yes. Now, in Shastra we see a lot of examples. Within the Bhagavatam and within our functioning within ISKCON also we could be put under puzzling situations. What could be some puzzling situations where there are two authorities telling something different and you are puzzled? Before I tell what I found out, I will learn something from you. Could be some potential scenario within ISKCON that you could be put in a puzzling situation.
Lord Krishna says not to give my knowledge to non-devotees.
Not to give my knowledge to non-devotees, Lord Krishna says, okay. And then Prabhupada says, go and preach. Don't disturb the minds of those who are too much attached. Prabhupada says, go and preach, go disturb them, tell them. Why? Because the mood of the Lord towards the end, the Lord says, whoever preaches my message is dear to me. And the Lord is urging everybody to surrender unto Him. So Prabhupada gives that in the beginning itself. Okay, what other within ISKCON when functioning? Prabhupada himself giving different instructions in different times. Typical example of that came out in the Pandavacharya course is that about Varnashram implementation, Prabhupada will say different things in different times. And that's why devotees take different sites. Up to 75, 76 or even before that Prabhupada will say, forget about Varnashram. Chanting Hare Krishna is the only panacea. So later, when the time comes, 1977 onwards, Prabhupada will say, Varnashram is a must. The institution has grown, people are feeling the weight, now we must have an ideal setup for people of different mentalities to come, use their nature and dovetail that in Krishna service. For that, implementation of Varnashram is a must. Now, the same Acharya, 1 year ago you said, forget about it, now 1 year later you are saying, I want it, implement it now. So that means he is able to see something which we are not able to see. He is asking us to wait till the right time comes and then implement. Just like in cooking, if you overcook it, it gets burnt, if you undercook it, it's raw. So you need to know the right timing. Okay, what other scenarios in this one where you are puzzled by two different authorities? Probably the fans putting everyone to sleep. So, based on what I learned in the disciples course and the handbook, is that where we have the spiritual line of authority and the managerial line of authority. Interestingly, when I read through that, whoever is defined as the spiritual line of authority, the same set of persons are there in the managerial line of authority also. So let's see who is in the spiritual line of authority. It starts with Lord Krishna, comes for us through Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, Srila Prabhupada. The spiritual line can include the spiritual line of authority can include the governing body commissioners, GBC zone secretaries, spiritual masters, sannyasis, regional secretaries, temple presidents, congregational leaders, and both traveling and community preachers. So this is the spiritual line. And you will find exactly the same set of people mentioned in the managerial line. So the urge is that not to see management as something separate from service to Krishna. At the same time, the managemental authority is not an infallible authority like the Shastra. They are meant to facilitate the preaching mission. For preaching, management is involved. That shouldn't be seen as separate from Krishna consciousness. So there are a few quotes to illustrate that the vision of seeing management as separate from Krishna consciousness has to be given up. Now in both the cases, if there is an agreement, as we saw the different scenarios which the Yamadutas say, the two authorities are agreeing, no problem. Now the difference comes, or the puzzling scenario comes when they differ. And that's when the education is required for those taking up the discipleship. They need to be educated about who is in the both the lines of authorities, and the disciple has to act in a way that he doesn't create a conflict between these two. He has to clearly know who is responsible for what. your spiritual inspiration, your connection to the Guru Parampara, that's through the Diksha. Diksha Guru also gives Siksha, and others also give you Siksha, which is instructions. Now, if there is a scenario where the spiritual authority acts independent of the management line of authority, that is not an ideal scenario. At the same time, when the management, those in the management role, they emphasize more on the goals of their management and underestimate the power of sadhana, behavior, etiquette and all that, that's also not ideal. So the solution to that is all of them have to be educated, and including those who are taking up big roles and those who are taking up the role of the disciple, all of them have to be educated, giving them a clear idea of their roles and responsibilities and who to go to for when. And as the Yamadutas are doing, if there is a conflict, openly go and express and ask for clarification. And this is how you apply the principles that we have learned in the Shastras in your dealings within ISKCON, so that you don't create, when you are puzzled, you don't create further commotion and disturbance. Rather, you ask for clarification, and that is an ideal situation where you get further education. That's what the Yamadutas are getting. Because they are asking inquisitive about Narayana, and Yamaraj says, okay, this is a good time that I can teach you about his potency, his power. Similarly, we get we get to know more about how things function within ISKCON when we are prepared to be educated. Just to wrap up, the other scenario that I found which is puzzling in the Shastra, or how the Jai Vijay, when they stopped the four Kumaras, the four Kumaras were puzzled. How we also see Priyavrata Maharaj being so renounced, he is asked to accept the kingdom and rule. So we get inspiration from the Shastra, we also know how to apply them in the institution and work. So I'll conclude there with these principles to take with us. Any questions or comments on what we discussed?
Yeah, it said that what are some examples where the devotee gives a benediction and the Lord fulfills that benediction. Actually, if we see sometimes that curse or a boon that the devotee gives is actually in line with the Lord's pastime. Sometimes they foresee that, okay, in the future this will happen and this will go in line with the Lord.
Yes.
So, is that, can we say that that's true? Because even with Jai Vijay getting cursed,
yeah, Lord had a desire to fight and all that.
Yeah, and eventually the Lord comes and says, actually I want this. So, can we say that those curses or boons are actually in line with the plan of the Lord?
Yeah, we can say that. Certain scenarios, yeah, because the Lord will enact his... This is not a question, but just a comment. In Jai Vijay's case, the Lord will later... Lord had a desire to fight, he can't fight in the spiritual world, so he gives Jai Vijay an option. 3 lifetimes as demons, so anyway they'll take it. So that's what not the relationship. Okay.
Or sometimes is it not in me? In all cases can we say that it is in line with the Lord's plan, or sometimes it's not really like that, like when Narada Muni says, I think I want to help Narada Muni, so then he just does it out of favor for them, and the Lord thinks in that pastime that, oh, my devotee said like this, so I have to do that.
I don't have complete spiritual knowledge to comment on whether for all scenarios it is applicable or not. So, based on what I know, in certain scenarios, the Lord does foresee for this pastime to facilitate this pastime with others. In Narada Muni's scenario, it is to illustrate that I'll keep the word of my devotee because my devotee said these two will be delivered, so therefore I'll deliver. So the emphasis is more on glorifying Narada Muni. That's what I think. But I can't say as a general rule it applies because I haven't read all these samskaras. Grandhrashima Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki.